At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us. I have just spent 2 hours, almost 2 hours, with Juliet Bryant interviewing her Epstein survivor. And oh, my goodness, has she got a story? And we are going to be publishing that one probably once the edits are done, in about a week or so. But the one that I woke up to today that was suggested to me was this Nancy Grace video. So Nancy Grace has got a theory of a pattern of people related to Epstein, survivors getting unalived. And, you know, the new information to me was she mentioned people that we have touched on in the past, but absolutely requires a deep dive into the stories of what has gone on with the survivors who were unalived. And when I was speaking to Juliet Bryant just now, she added another name to that list. I think Nancy Grace starts out talking about 4 people to do with Jeffrey have been unalived. But with Nancy Grace's numbers, with Juliet Bryant's numbers and my own numbers, I've got it up to 7 right now. And we are going to get to that shortly. So I have got until 7. We've got just over 20 minutes. Then Ron's coming on. I'm going to be at the beginning of it with some bombshell Julia Van Delt news. And then at 8 o'clock, that's in an hour and 20 minutes, we've got an exclusive with J.E.'s niece, who has not done a live interview, as far as I'm aware, on YouTube ever before. So get your questions ready for J.E.'s niece, who Anya Wick, who's also got her own harrowing story of human transportation. But anyway, let me proceed with Nancy Grace's theory. I will play you some of this because she's going to be naming other survivors who have been unalived. If you want to watch the full Nancy Grace video, all credit to Nancy Grace. The video link is at the top of the description box if you're watching this on YouTube. Also, Lionel's wife, Lynn, is interviewed in this video. All right, if we've got time, we'll go over to that. So here we go.
Person connected to this investigation to die of suicide. What about Carolyn Andriano?
When she was just 14, Jeffrey Epstein began sexually abusing Carolyn Andriano and continued to abuse her for the next 4 years. Testifying against Ghislaine Maxwell in her trial for sex trafficking minors, Carolyn Andriano found dead in a West Palm Beach, Florida hotel room at the age of 36.
So out of all of the thousands of Epstein survivors, the one thing that Juliet Bryant just pointed out to me when I was speaking to her is the frequency of unalivement of people who have testified. And Carolyn Andriano is on the list of people who have testified.
Leaving behind a husband and 5 children, West Palm Beach police say she died from an accidental overdose Carolyn Andriano is the second Epstein survivor to have died of a fatal drug overdose in Palm Beach County, Florida. The first Epstein survivor to die of an overdose, Lee Sky Patrick, was found dead in a West Palm Beach hotel from an accidental drug overdose.
That is just two in Florida. I also think we need to include the story of Joseph Ricari in the unalivements. And I know people are getting bumped off the screen right now because I just got bumped off myself. I watch it simultaneously on my phone. So press the channel icon. It should be red. It should say live. And it should bring you right back. This has been happening, oddly enough, since we started reporting on Virginia. And many of you are getting bumped can confirm that that is happening ever since we started reporting on Virginia. I've started a Virginia playlist, and when I try and add a video to it, it will not let me add a video to it as well on YouTube. Really strange. Anyway, we're looking at Nancy Grace's theory of a pattern of unalivements.
Dose. Patrick's twin sister, Selby Patrick, says Lee Sky suffered tremendously, and it all started with Epstein.
It all started with Epstein. Now,
as I said, I've just interviewed Juliet Bryant. She has mentioned Rizlana as someone else who was unalived. So we've got Virginia, Carolyn, Andriano, Lee Sky Patrick. We've got Rizlana. That's four. We've got Epstein and Jean-Luc Brunel. That's five and six. And then we've got Joseph Ricari, who was a cop. I think he was in his 50s, in excellent shape. And he was the cop who, when we had Jean-Marc Duggan on, said that he didn't trust his superiors with the information they had seized from Epstein's property, asked Jean-Marc Duggan to make copies of it. Then all of a sudden, Joseph Ricari is suddenly unalived. Acosta comes in, says it's above his pay grade. Epstein's not even doing hard time. He's got the slap on the wrist time. And Joseph Ricari's out the picture, and Jean-Marc Duggan fled to Russia. So we need a deep dive done on all of the unalivements surrounding the JE case. Just like a deep dive was done by, what was the name, who did it on the Diddy story? Rotten Mango? Rotten Mango needs to turn her guns onto this and to do an excellent deep dive theories on all of the unalivements surrounding the JE case. Now, Juliet Bryant is living in a security compound with attack dogs. All of the survivors, you know, what happened to Virginia sent a shockwave through the survivor community, and Juliet Bryant is one hell of a brave lady. You could see the fire in her eyes when she was talking at the end of the interview. It's a pre-record, folks. There was some stopping and starting. The attack dogs were jumping around a lot, and a kid was in the background a lot. We've got to edit out. But I think we've done a series of interviews with Juliet Bryant over the years. She's gone from strength to strength. And this was her best one yet. And she gave some excruciating details about Clinton, the governor of New Mexico, the baby farm, the occult side of it, and really exposed, you know, some of the darker components, which a lot of people are afraid to talk about. So there's two other points I wanted to go to in the Nancy Grace video. I've written them down, the timestamps. I've watched this twice today. So we've got the pattern. We've just talked about the pattern. Oh, I think it was boys. She brings boys into it near the end. Says a few pertinent things. Let me see if I can find him. She interviewed another survivor as well. That was the survivor lady. And we'll bring the Lindsay Warrior stuff in as well. But let me see. All right, let's go to Lynn's Warrior. I know where that timestamp is. It's at 16. So this is Lionel's wife, folks. And she is a hell of a forceful speaker. She's got the fire. I can't imagine if Lionel and his wife have a dispute, what it's like, these two legal eagles going at it. But yeah, welcome to Lynn's Warrior.
Jeffrey Epstein. I want us all to first applaud Lisa for appearing and bravely speaking out. This takes a lot of strength to keep talking about what happened, so we must all commend her. Second of all, Virginia Giuffre, I will never believe, killed herself. She bravely came out as a warrior. And when she did that several years ago, all of the other victims came forward and said, finally, finally, we have some support, resolution, media attention. We're going to get somewhere. Three facts. Right away, law enforcement said, no foul play, nothing to see here. That was number one. Number two, Virginia was in the process of renovating her house. Number three, she was standing for all the other victims. She would not do anything to harm herself. She wanted to be that warrior for them. And I have to add a fourth point. I don't believe she would leave her children. Something happened here. We're not getting the facts. And will it ever end, Nancy? I'm afraid to say, and I don't like saying this. No, this Epstein story is never going to end. We're never going to hear the truth and the facts about all of this. Too many complicit, powerful people involved.
And another thing, you heard Lynn Shaw say she was in the middle of a renovation. She was fighting to see her children. She would never leave them. But what about this note? What she said, she was...
All right, we've already covered the note a couple of days ago. But what a phenomenal speaker Lynn is. So put a one in the chat if you would like us to get Lionel's wife, Lynn, on to speak about Virginia and her human transportation campaigning. Put a two in the chat if you'd rather not. I know it's all going to be ones. Thank you very much, folks. And I can see Kirby Summers has been in the chat. Shout out to Kirby Summers doing such important work. I am a regular on Kirby's channel now, waiting for the latest developments in this case because she's at the forefront. Right, let me go near the end. So we got a survivor. Our boys didn't come on the screen. She played some boys near the end here. Let me see what it is. Yeah, we got the Prince Andrew stuff as well. We'll start with this bit. She got some funny things to say about Prince Andrew.
About first, she said that couldn't be him because he had never been to Ghislaine Maxwell's second story of her. Oh, there she is. Second story of her condo, I believe in Mayfair. A Tony part of London. And there he is with Virginia Giuffre. Then he says it couldn't be him because these were not the clothes he would have worn in London because these are his, quote, traveling clothes. What is he talking about, Irv Brandt? His traveling clothes? Really? Then he tried to claim that that's not his left hand because it's too red. Wow, it matches his right hand. I mean, then he said he couldn't possibly have met her at a disco because she said he was sweaty and he doesn't sweat because of a war wound. It just gets worse. Train wreck. Perfect way to describe it. What, do the laws work differently in Great Britain than they do in the U.S.? Because he should be in jail.
Nancy, it's the whole thing is disturbing. And when you said train wreck, I would say that's the best way to describe it. The stories don't make sense. The answers to the questions.
All right. Yeah, I remember now. So I'm going to go back to 2018. You know, she's got, so we're talking about Nancy Grace, her pattern theory of the unalivement. And of course, one of the major ones is Jeffrey himself. So here's what she says about Jeffrey.
On the cusp of the feds releasing more names, she says, yeah, you know what? I give up. I'm committing suicide.
Well, let me go back. No, it's not there. Because she's got some images of him. Here it is. Here it is. Yeah, she's got some images of his injuries. So here's the Jeffrey
stuff. In his cell, authorities say Epstein tied his bed sheet to his bed frame, leaned forward, essentially hanging himself. Several bones in Epstein's neck were fractured. The inspector general's investigation concluded that prison guards were negligent, fudging the records of their half-hourly rounds while sleeping on duty. Epstein's cellmate was also inexplicably removed despite Epstein's lawyers' requests he not be left alone. Two cameras that should have monitored Epstein's every move were also not recording during the incident.
What happened to Jeffrey Epstein? He had told multiple people that he feared he would be killed behind bars. Specifically, I want to look at the wounds on Epstein's neck. Dr. Kendall Crowns joining me, Chief Medical Examiner, Tarrant County. Look behind his neck. Look at that. When someone dies in the way it's purported Epstein died, much like Robin Williams died, by tying something around the neck and then attaching it to, in this case, a bunk bed, and then leaning forward, why would you have those marks on the back of your neck? And also, Dr. Kendall Crowns, let me direct your attention to the photo on the left, the horizontal photo. In a typical suicide by hanging, you see more of a U-shaped indentation and mark. This looks more like a ligature from behind by an assailant mark. And it's not just me saying this. There are renowned medical examiners who agree.
Usually when you have someone who commits suicide by hanging and uses a ligature, they'll attach it to something, and then when they hang themselves, the ligature furrow will pull upwards. And you get an inverted V on the neck. I mean, usually all the way around the neck, you'll see this inverted V. And in a non-suicidal ligature,
inverted V. You mean like a smile?
An upside down smile. Yeah, it would be another way to describe it. Is another way. Yes, I would agree with that. So when you have someone that's strangled with a ligature, you don't get that inverted V or upside down smile because they're standing behind you and pulling that ligature tight around your neck, and that creates those kind of more horizontal lines. The problem with Epstein is every description I've heard of the wound and the pictures I've seen is it doesn't look like it's going upwards. So it's very unusual. Could he have hanged himself by putting his neck into the ligature that's just a U and then leaning forward? It would cause that without seeing it on the back of the neck, but you would still get kind of an upward tilt to it. And then that's also a soft ligature. You're not going to get all the fracturing that you're seeing with Epstein as well, of the hyoid bone, which is a bone in the neck. So the problem I have is with the age of Epstein, those bones become more bony and they become more brittle, so they're more readily fractured. But you don't usually see a lot of the fractures. And I'd have to do a lot more looking at the case, looking at those pictures, to really give you a true opinion on that. But it is very unusual what we're seeing in Epstein's case for it to be a suicidal hang.
So I'm going to add some to this as well. Because in chapter one of Who Killed Epstein, I go over a few more details that has been overlooked there. So I'm going to try and get this in before the hour because we're going to be doing a Julia announcement. So chapter one, the murder. It was July 6, 2019. J.E. was arrested at New Jersey's airport following a trip to France. During a raid on his mansion, the FBI found nude pics, including images of teenage girls, charged with transportation and conspiracy to transport minors for beep. He offered to pay a $600 million bail bond, which the judge denied because he was a flight risk, an acute danger to the community, and a threat to the witnesses. So I was inundated when that arrest went down, because I was doing a series of videos on what would happen to ABC in prison if they got arrested, and he became like the D in that series. So I posted a video titled, Has Bill Clinton Scheduled J.E. for Prison Death to Cover Up Lolita Scandal? And I said that J.E. would be unalived, and it would probably be made to look like an unalivement, a self-unalivement. And then it was August 10th, 2019, news reported that it had in fact happened. So in the run-up, and this is something that Kirby Summers touched on recently. 10 days before his death on July 23rd, an incident happened that suggested his time was limited. In the Metropolitan Correctional Center, he was found unconscious with injuries to his neck. He had been assigned a cellmate called Nicholas Tartaglione, a muscle-bound ex-cop turned gangster, accused of unaliving four men in his brother's bar after a substances deal soured. Facing the death penalty, Tartaglione had access to the outside world through an illegal cell phone. Under normal circumstances, J.E. would not be housed with a murderer and a gangster because the convict code dictates they should be KOS. However, J.E. complained to one of his lawyers that he had been attacked by Tartaglione. This is what Kirby Summers mentioned the other day. Naturally, when questioned by investigators, his cellmate denied having anything to do with the injuries. Of course he did. He's not going to implicate himself. Anyway, whatever had prevented the first attempt on his life, J.E. was placed on the unaliving watch. On July 29th, he was removed from the unaliving watch and put in a special housing unit with another cellmate that was not Tartaglione. Every 30 minutes, a guard was supposed to check on him. The night before his unalivement, August 9th, his cellmate was conveniently removed. This was the cellmate they'd put in so that they could, you know, keep tabs on him and he wouldn't unalive himself. Conveniently removed. The cameras monitoring the area malfunctioned. And the guards on duty had supposedly fallen asleep or been so engrossed in online shopping that they were oblivious to the man unaliving a short distance from the guard station. The two guards, Tova Noel, 31, and Michael Thomas, 41, would later be charged with falsifying records and conspiracy because for 8 hours from 10:30 p.m. on August 9th to 6:30 a.m. on August 10th, they had not gone to his cell door. The indictment against the guards stated, they sat at their desks, browsed online, and moved about the common area for a substantial portion of their shift instead of completing the required checks. Noel and Thomas allegedly appeared to be asleep at their desks for about 2 hours. Can you believe this? Noel used her computer to search for furniture sales and benefit websites during her shift. Thomas allegedly searched online for motorcycle sales and sports news briefly at 1 a.m., 4 a.m., and 6 a.m. The pair were only 15 feet away from J.E. when he died. They found him dead when they went to serve him breakfast at 6:30 a.m. The last time they had checked on him was at 11:30 p.m. the night before. Noel allegedly told a supervisor, "We did not complete the 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. rounds." Thomas added, "We messed up. I messed up. She's not to blame. We didn't do any rounds." According to Nick Tartaglione's lawyer, nobody heard anything. It was a silent act. And then to tie in what Nancy Grace said, here's what I wrote in Who Killed Epstein. The autopsy revealed that various neck bones had been fractured, including the hyoid, which most medical experts commenting on the case have stated is more common in homicide than self-unaliving. Life is cheap in prison. A small amount of the brown is enough to get someone killed. To get away with a professional hit, the victim would have to die in a way that would look like self-unalivement. Out of the methods that prisoners use to commit unalivement or to die accidentally, a professional would probably go with hanging or hot shot. Guards who have unalived prisoners have been known to string somebody up afterwards. Gang members often employ the hot shot because a prisoner found OD'd appears to be just another dead addict, which requires no further investigation, which ties in to the method of pharmacide, which at the end of the discussion with Juliet Bryant just now, the pre-record that's going to come out in about a week or so, she absolutely concurs with the theory of pharmacide on Virginia. So let me go down a bit. One of the lawyers representing victims of J.E., Spencer Coovin, spoke to a staff member at the jail and told the media, "I received a call from a supervisor at the MCC, which is the jail J.E. was held in. The first words out of his mouth, to be honest, were, don't believe what you are hearing in regards to Epstein's death. That's a quote. I had a lengthy conversation with him about the issue of security of MCC, and he gave me a fairly detailed description of the interior of the jail, which led me to believe that he was credible. He told me how the SHU, where JE was kept, was basically designed to be a jail within a jail. And then there was a separate, even more secure unit inside the SHU, where the highest value targets were kept. He said every square inch of the place is covered by cameras. It was designed that way because of super high value targets that are kept there. Terrorists, dealers, cartel leaders, extremely high value targets, or suspects like JE. Quote, if reports that there is no CCTV are true, it would mean that they'd either shut the cameras off or they were not functioning in some way. There was no way they would not have been able to see what was going on. What my source found very suspicious was that the cellmate was pulled the day before. The purpose of the cellmate was for someone who was on the unalignment watch is to notify guards if something is happening to the cellmate. So the fact that they pulled out the cellmate is not only one level above negligent, it appears intentional. Really, he should have been on the unalignment watch. Not only was he not on the unalignment watch, they pulled the other person that could have notified guards if something untoward was about to occur. It was almost as though they did it so that no one could see what was happening the following day. Quote, I met J.E. on three occasions and he never seemed to be a remorseful individual. He always seemed highly intelligent, arrogant, self-assured, confident, never thought he did everything wrong, even in the light of all the evidence against him. He basically blamed the victims and had an incredible ego about himself. And someone with that type of ego just never struck me as someone who could possibly commit self-unalive. I didn't think he was that brave, to be perfectly honest. He always hid behind lawyers upon lawyers upon lawyers in his civil and criminal cases. I mean, you can't even count the number of people he hired to protect him from any allegations, both civil and criminal. This act requires a certain amount of resolve, and he never struck me as someone who could do that. I think the most likely scenario, if it's not on self-unalivement, is that somebody on the inside of the prison was paid essentially to make it look like self-unalive, and the guards were paid to disappear and not be there, and his cellmate was taken away on Friday, so there'd be no witnesses. So someone went in there in the early hours of the morning, tied him around the neck with a bed sheet, tied the bed sheet to the bed, and pushed him down effectively and held him down until he choked to death. For something like this, you would expect to see some type of bruising or whatever around his shoulders if he was being held down against his will. So that would be the most likely scenario to make it appear as though he'd done it, the act himself. With the fracture of the bone in his neck, it's suggesting a high amount of force pushing down on him. I think the most likely scenario, if it is not self-unalivement, is that there were too many people that were afraid that he would talk about what he may have done with them, and others, they just paid someone off to go into the jail and take care of him. All right, so that is most of chapter one from Who Killed Epstein. I'm going to go over to the stream with the Julian announcement now. If you want to read more, finish that chapter, the link is in the description box below the video. Available worldwide on Amazon, ebook, paperback, and audiobook. So when I finish this stream, it's going to take you over to the huge announcement with Julia. And then I'm back in an hour with Jeffrey's niece, who's never done an interview on YouTube before live. So get your questions ready, folks. We've got a big night ahead of us. Thank you for tuning in and look forward to seeing you in the Julia one and with Epstein's niece. See you shortly. Thank you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.